scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far-right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be...
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Jake. This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we got a jam-packed show here. It seems like I haven't been on in a week, and so I just want to give a quick shout out to Renzo and Olivia that are just leaving here. My godchildren are here today with Wendy and celebrating life, and it's good to see them. And thanks for the T-shirt that they drew me. And I don't know if you can see this. They drew a little butt because I always tell them, you know, do you know what? And they say what? And I say chicken butt. And so they drew a butt on my shirt. And so I just want to say peenie geegee. Hey, Robert's with us from Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, we got a jam-packed show. And we got your good friend, sister, Peggy, to lead off. And I'd like us to discuss a little bit after we listen to our lieutenant governor here in Minnesota.
Honey, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. It's an exciting week here in Minnesota as the federal government and the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development announced transformative investments in broadband. In 2023, reliable high-speed broadband is part of the basic infrastructure that keeps us connected to our lives. It's how we run our businesses, do our homework, keep in touch with loved ones. And as equipment becomes more advanced, our farm...
The Obama anger interpreter was one of the best. And so I don't know what that would look like as a Wisconsin version for Tony Evers. Greg, get on it. Tony Evers as Homelander.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
The return of Oplander. How hard did he Oplander yesterday? 844-967-2789. If you're unfamiliar with what the heck we're talking about, a while back, Mr. Greg Bach and I and Jane had some fun one day giving an alter ego to Governor Evers that was kind of poking fun at when he gets mad, you know, it sounds like, oh, gosh darn, I'm so mad.
Exactly.
And it's never, you know, he's, I believe him when he say he's angry, but the actual visible signs that most of us display when we're angry never really gets to that point for him. And so, but also when he does kind of surprisingly savvy political moves, because he's so Midwest and he's so soft spoken. And yet he's proven to be in, you know, politically savvy in moments. And yesterday, whether you like it or not, and I'm sure we have some listeners who very much do not like it, he pulled 51 line item vetoes and did sign the budget. And one in particular is making national headlines. And I want to hear from you. What do you think of Governor Evers' Oplander move of extending revenue limits by $325 per student, not until 2025, but until 2024? 25.
That's a big difference.
That's a 402 year difference. Well, no, actually, it's a 400-year difference. It's 402 years from this year. 844-967-2789. We're talking about our final budget. It's law. It's signed. It's done. And even if there were challenges, by the time it made it to the Supreme Court, Janet Protasiewicz is, I would assume, in the time, I mean, it's word in July. She gets inaugurated August 1st.
Right.
Janet Protasiewicz will be inaugurated, and it'll be a liberal court. Because in 2021, there was challenges to his line item vetoes, and it was ruled against him, but there was not more guidelines as far as the use of the line item veto. But this time around, it looks like Republicans are kind of stuck with this because they would need at least two Democrats in the Assembly to override his veto, which is not going to happen unless, and I'm pretty sure, I would think that the Democrats will be disciplined enough to not skip any days, because that could also happen if they voted in a day where there were some absences. But for the most part, this is it. And so I want to spend some time going through what this education thing means, but also some of the other line item vetoes and kind of what we're finally getting after months of negotiation. Because what was it? Was it January or February when we first saw Evers' proposal?
I think it was January.
It was January. So this has been
a long time in the works.
A long time coming. Yes. And so we finally have a budget. It's signed into law. So here we go. As a reminder, as far as where the two parties started, Evers' original budget called for using the $7 billion surplus for public schools, new family and medical leave program, money for roads, lead pipe replacement, a new Brewers stadium. 500 different policies were cut when the Republicans, right off the get-go. On top of that, no new paid leave, no child care, no legalization of marijuana, no Medicaid expansion, no Brewers Stadium. So that's a separate bill. They took shared revenue out. They passed that, but that's a separate bill. And so the big marquee thing that the Republicans put in their plan was a $3.5 billion tax cut across all tax brackets, the largest percentage cut going to the wealthiest Americans, Wisconsinites, sorry. So, where should we start first? Should we start with the crazy line item veto?
Let's kick that off first.
So, this is not a new thing. In fact, I was very young, but in 1991, Tommy Thompson is still the most egregious user of the line item veto, where he had more than 400 line item vetoes in his notoriously named Frankenstein veto. Back in 1991.
And he was a Republican.
And he was a Republican. And Governor Doyle did this. Walker did this. Tony Evers has now done this. So this is not a new thing. It's actually been around since the 1930s. It started to pick up steam as people's creativity of it in the 1970s. But this one's pretty impressive. So basically, how it read was that there will be a $325 per pupil revenue raise can be for the 2023 to 2024 and the 2024 to 2025 school years. So this was supposed to be for the next two cycle, the
right.
next 2 years. And he crossed off, because he can. You can't cross out letters, but you can cross out numbers. And you can cross out words and sentences, but not words in opposite sentences. He crossed out the two and the zero and the hyphen, making it 2425. And he's totally in his right to do that. And so, you know, the pushback from public education supporters is, this still isn't enough. Like, appreciate the effort, but...
Thanks for nothing?
Well, no, not thanks for nothing.
But because, as you said, it's they want more.
They want more. Republicans are saying this is going to put an insane burden on property taxes. But the thing is, it's also there to, if it's there for at districts' ability, the way I understand this, districts can use it when there's not enough state funding. So if you actually fund the schools from the state budget, they may not have to raise property taxes every year, year after year. But now they're at least allowed to, because there has been a freeze on doing that, which has put public schools in a bind, because what their budgets have been has not kept up with inflation
right.
at all. So schools will be able to have an additional $325 per student for the next 400 years. Now, if we'll be here in 400 years, I have no idea. So, if you have reactions to that, I know the internet has certainly reacted. Republicans are very angry, and I'm sure embarrassed, because I've seen a fair amount of conservative accounts just calling a spade and saying Republicans got played, or
really?
Republicans got Rickrolled, or there's some accounts that are just not trying to like whitewash this. They're like, this was, because you know, you try to, the Republicans or whoever is in the majority in the legislature is trying to craft their budget in a way that they can't have
things taken out.
Things taken out. Yeah. And they didn't see this one coming. So,
Oplander.
Oplander, man. 844-967-2789. Now, the next big thing that Oplander cut was what I feel like is not being represented accurately, because ultimately, our second highest tax bracket is everyone between $36,000 a year. Well, let's be specific. $36,840 a year up to $450,000 a year. So that's a big tax bracket. And that's everyone from, I would say, if you're only making $36,000 a year, certainly middle class, probably lower middle class. And now that I would say we know the amount of people, the small amount, but the amount of people who are in that highest tax bracket, over $405,000, including these 66 people who are making more than $30 million a year.
Oh.
I would say, you know, there's the Republicans are saying this is basically absolutely no tax cut for the middle class, which is not totally true, because the lower two brackets underneath that, those tax cuts stayed, and everyone gets that, right? Everyone who makes more than that on that percentage of your income, you get a break. You don't get a break on the higher brackets. But I was a little surprised that he didn't just veto the highest earner, because that is, it's so, you know, over $400,000, and keep that second one, just because it's such a huge amount of people. And I feel like that could have been a big win for him, but he did. So there's going to be a small tax cut for most residents, but vetoed the tax cuts for the state's two highest income brackets. So basically it went from a $3.5 billion tax relief to $175 million in tax relief. And so basically all the money that would have gone to tax breaks instead remains in the general fund. So for all the people who ever called in and said, we should just sit on it, sit on that bunny and let it accrue interest, you got what you wanted. Who was it? Who was it up in Rhinelander that was really big fan of? Was it Bill?
Bill. It was Bill.
So Bill, if you're listening, most of that, a lot of that money now will sit in the general fund and accrue interest, because we have not allocated it to either tax funds or investments. And so likely we will get to bicker about this again in 2 years.
Oh, yay.
Yay. All right. Well, there's other stuff that I want to get to. We also have some calls on the line, but I know we got to take a break. And so we would love to hear from you as well on what your reactions are to the final budget. 844-967-2789. We will take your calls and your texts when we come back. We'll also talk about what's in store for the UW system, state employees, the Badger Fund of Funds, which we talked about yesterday with Tom Still, gender-affirming care, and there's even a little bit of the RNC got a little veto love yesterday. So we will talk about all of that this hour. 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are taking your calls and your opinions on the Oplander budget.
We're going to make this a thing, yes.
We are going to make I think it's starting to catch on. I made an explainer video on TikTok last night just explaining the 400-year extension of the education per pupil raises, and I got more traction of people being like, Oplander, that's pretty funny.
Oh, you know,
it's like
good.
it's like a Dark Brandon knockoff kind of. Yeah. But
Wisconsin style.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. What do you think of the final budget and Governor Evers' line item vetoes?
Dave from McWan is joining us. Good morning, Dave. What do you think?
Good morning. You know what? I think, I understand that people want an increase in school budgeting and what have you, but to sign off on it for the next 402 years, that's going back to like when the Pilgrims were first landing here in the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just silly. At the end of the day, I think there should also be, to be honest with you, granted, you know, obviously I consider education very important. However, you know, there doesn't seem to be any accountability for the public schools that are failing a tremendous amount of kids that are not proficient in math, not proficient in reading. And it's been going on for years. And if they complain that, oh, if we don't have enough money, it's like that every, it seems like that is, since I've been alive in Wisconsin, that's always been the case. It's never changed. And at the end of the day, the kids are the ones who are losing if that money, and I don't have a problem with increasing it, but you have to get better results. I mean, when you have, you know, a majority of students, they're not proficient in reading and writing and what have you, that's a lose-lose-lose.
No, I hear you, Dave. But I think who are we supposed to believe as to what's going to improve the schools? Because to a certain extent, it's hard for me to, when I look at the background of most of our lawmakers, most of them are not teachers, right? Most of them have not worked in the education system in the same way a lot of them are not doctors. And so I want to believe the people who work in education know what they need. And maybe you're going to say that that's wrong, but it's like, ultimately, this is not just a Wisconsin thing. Across the nation, we've seen the numbers. Schools are where our kids are far behind from where they've been 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So there's a bigger thing happening here. And I don't know if money is the answer, but who should we believe to start trying to implement better solutions?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. And I've had this argument with Earl. So the United States spends more on healthcare than any country in the world, right? By far, hands down, we spend more money than practically the next 10 countries combined on healthcare, as it is, you know, between Medicaid, Medicare, private insurance, what have you. And our results are abysmal.
Yeah.
The United States is not doing very well. So we know on a health level that if you spend an infinite amount of money, that doesn't mean you're going to get great results. And that's what we should be demanding, because if you are, in this case, like I said, so if the United States wants to change the outlook, we have to start holding some people accountable. I don't care if it's in the healthcare field, schooling, what have you. There needs to be a change. And unfortunately, I don't think there's a lot of people that have the stomach to call out the people or whoever is running these departments, because sure, politicians, we hold politicians, you know, with voting and what have you, but the people that are in these other positions where they're not able to be voted in, they're actually just, they just get the job and they're in there for the next 20, 30 years automatically. People don't know who they are and what they're doing. And so that's a huge thing that I think people have to understand going forward.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Dave. And that's a good point, I would say, as far as we do spend a lot of money on healthcare. And I don't know if it's apples to apples, because there's a lot more private interests when it comes to the healthcare debacle that we have than there, I think, that there is in education. But it's a good point that more money doesn't always get better outcomes. got time for another call?
We do. 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, what do you want to say?
Well, first of all, I speak from a perspective of somebody that is retired from teaching. I taught for over 40 years in a variety of different schools, from university level all the way down to sixth grade, and in public, private, and parochial schools. And first thing I want to say is, talk about no accountability. There is no accountability. The man is right. However, he chose the wrong set of schools. There's accountability via tests. There's accountability via the local school boards, many of whom are extremely conservative in the public schools. But there is no accountability in private schools. The money is just thrown at the private schools, and it's increased, by the way, quite a bit more than the public schools were increased in this last budget. What needs to happen in terms of the public schools, money has been siphoned from the public schools into private schools for at least the last 13 years. The arrogance of our Republican legislators who just keep throwing more and more money at this, at public or private school welfare, I call it, where there is no accountability. And they have no accountability because they're so gerrymandered in place. They think, oh, nothing can happen to us. We'll be here next year, and we're going to throw the same thing at the governor. So I'm getting a little bit tired of this discussion.
There's absolutely.
Saying, throwing money at the problem won't help it. But I'm going to tell you, if you take money away from systems that are hiring people and need to hire the best people, you are not going to get good results, and that's what's been happening with our public schools.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jack. We got to go to a break, but I do agree. We're in a teacher shortage. We need to attract teachers, and that takes money. All right, we're going to keep talking about the budget on the other side of the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are talking about the budget that is now signed into law. So it's done. He did not Oplander so hard to veto the entire thing, which a lot of people did want him to do. And even yesterday, some people were lamenting that he did not do. But that hasn't been done since 1930, so it was probably going to be a long shot. I think you could argue, you know, he has a 57% approval rating. He just got reelected. If he was ever going to do it, this could have been a year to really stand up. But I think, at least in what he said, being Governor Evers, is how much else is in the bill that would have put people in a bad spot as far as PFAS and schools and stuff like that, that it wasn't worth it.
Sure.
But we're taking your calls on your reactions to his line item vetoes and where the bill, where the budget has finally ended. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. You're free to call, you're free to text, and you're free to also comment on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
John from Menominee Falls says, in response to Dave's question, 15 years ago, I believe Wisconsin was ranked 8th in the country for public education. For 15 years, our public school increases have been less than the rate of inflation. I believe our public schools are now 28th in the country. It's not hard to understand why kids aren't learning as well when many schools have class sizes that have jumped from 18 kids per teacher to 30 kids per teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why. What does Matt Flint say? You need to know history or something? Something along
the lines. You're not woke if you don't know history.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, and it's like the tit for tat, and it's not always great, but like knowing the full scope, and a lot of the times the stuff that was, I was... Before 2003, I was a kid, And then I was gone for a long time. So sure. There's sometimes like I don't remember exactly what happened, but there's a lot of people who listen to this show and have that institutional knowledge to be like, hey, hey, hey.
Wait. Look back.
When this happened.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera. Well, we still want to take your calls and your texts and get your reactions, 844-967-2789. But I did want to run through some of the other final items from the budget. Not surprisingly, Governor Evers did veto the $32 million cut for the UW system. And so the 188 UW system staff positions for diversity, equity, inclusion have been saved from elimination. Now, that still means there's no new funding for the UW system. So that still creates a big problem, especially for the campuses. I think all but two are running at a deficit right now. So certainly doesn't help the situation, but it also doesn't
make it even worse. Right.
The state employees will still be getting a 4% pay increase on July 1st and another 2% raise in 2024. One of the other line item vetoes was for the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. So the budget had set aside $2.5 million for that program for drilling for new wells, facility maintenance, upgrades and renovations and new buildings at a number of fish hatcheries in Wisconsin, which is hilarious because there's a kind of a major street in Madison called Fish Hatchery Road.
I know it well.
That is like where my mind goes versus like an actual fish hatchery.
Yes, they are there.
And so Evers vetoed the earmarks for specific projects and highlighted that the decision on what is funded by the program shouldn't be decided solely by the legislature. And then yesterday, when Tom Stills was here, president of Wisconsin Technology Council, he was talking about the Badger Fund of Funds. And I think that was one of the things he had highlighted in like, what does entrepreneurship and tech and startups need to thrive in Wisconsin, especially what do they need from government? And he had mentioned this Badger Fund of Funds. And so Evers also used his veto power yesterday to eliminate the restrictions intended to place on that initiative. And so as a reminder, the Fund of Funds is a public-private investment program that allows the state to invest in Wisconsin startups. And so under the Republican budget, the program would have received a $25 million investment from the state, but would have had to repay it in its entirety. And the program also would have been required to send 90% of gross proceeds of that investment to the state's general fund. Evers removed those requirements, saying in his veto message that he objects to the measure that would reduce the resources available for investment. He said that he was concerned those limitations might detract from efforts to attract additional private co-investors. So,
okay.
Pro-business, pro-startup line item veto there. He also vetoed, with another partial veto, removed the measure that would have prohibited Medicaid payments for gender-affirming care. And he accused Republicans of, quote, perpetuating hateful, discriminatory, and anti-LGBTQ policies and rhetoric with that proposal. And it's something that likely could have been challenged in court anyways. We're seeing this in a handful of red states. I think Tennessee, Arkansas. I'm trying to think of which federal judges have already knocked down their state's attempt to limit gender-affirming care. But I've yet to see any of the court cases that have said, A-okay,
right.
Go ahead. So so that is part in there. There's also these slight attempt to make the child care counts program gutting a little bit
less painful,
better. Because in the Republican budget, they had a revolving loan fund for child care providers for $15 million. And with his veto, Evers allows those funds to be distributed as grants rather than loans.
Okay.
So
it's something.
There's something. And I know he also has requested that the rest of the, like, as much as like ARPA funds that are left be redirected back to childcare. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but there's still movement, I think, to try to not have that totally die. I'm trying to think what else What else? Because there's a couple things I wanted to end with that are very funny. But do you have any reactions to this, Jane?
I'm just really glad you're here to explain all of this to me, because it's really complicated.
It is really complicated. And I'm even, you know, I read this stuff from, as I always want to say, a big shout out to the J.R. Rosses of the world and the Jesse Apoyans and the Molly Becks and the journalists who actually spend sleepless nights in the Capitol, and then they write the summary, the thorough summary of what happened, and they're the ones who actually read the budget. And then I take what they write and I go, I'm going to make this a little bit funnier. And so,
well, still, that requires a broad understanding of the understanding. And again, I think it's always been about breaking this stuff down, complicated things into little edible bites.
Yes, absolutely.
We do have a text, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY from the 414. Kristen and Jane, as a country, we spend more on education. Doesn't mean we have the smartest population. We spend the most on health care. Doesn't mean we have the healthiest nation. We have the most guns of any country. Doesn't mean we have the safest nation. And we pay the most to have our politicians elected. Doesn't mean we have the best of those either. As we see, facts mean nothing. Doesn't make us safer, smarter, or healthier. Just makes our politicians richer. Have a good day.
That is a very, very great text.
It's tough to, what's to argue with?
It's hard to argue with. And it's even, you know, even the fact of how much money we spend in our military.
That can't,
and what outcomes,
that can't pass an audit.
That can't pass an audit. I think my brother told me this morning that since he graduated high school, which would have been 2000, did he say $14 trillion that we've spent on the military? And, you know, not that I'm pro-war in any way, but what do we have to show for it?
Bombs?
But I'm just, you know, it's like Afghanistan still is a mess and the Taliban has taken over. I'm not sure there is a ton of stability in the other places that we've occupied. You know, we'll see how the Ukraine thing. Well, I know we're not actively engaged in Ukraine. We are certainly sending a lot of money to help them. And like that could still end up with Russia annexing part of Ukraine. And it's like, what are we spending all this money on for?
And the fact, again, they can't pass an audit and they haven't been able to do that in years, years and years and years. And yet let's appropriate more money. Because they handle what they have so well.
But it's also, this is on the Democrats. The Democrats never try to cut their funding.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you.
And so yeah. And so some of the other things that were in the budget that I wanted to get to, showing priorities of what is a bipartisan, like bipartisan support versus what is partisan support. So, you know, in the next couple of years, we have a couple big events happening in Wisconsin. Next year, we have the RNC. And the year after that, we have the NFL draft. And so Evers kept in place the $2 million to help pay costs associated with the Green Bay Packers hosting the National Football League in 2025. But not so much love for the RNC.
No.
The Republican National Convention that will be held in Milwaukee next year. Instead of the $10 million grant for Visit Milwaukee, the city's tourism bureau, the Republicans included in the state budget, it's now going to be only $1 million.
Ooh.
And so Evers just kind of chopped that little zero right off. And moved the other $9 million into the State Department of Tourism's budget for marketing.
My goodness. 844-967-2789. We have Jack from Mount Pleasant. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say?
Hi, thank you. I like what Governor Evers did with the budget. I think he took a very bad budget and did the best that he could. You know, he told the Republican legislature what he would veto, and that was a high rate tax decrease, and he lived up to that. So I think that's the way to go, and it's amazing. I mean, he and his staff or whoever came up with the veto on education was amazing to fund education at that level for that long a time. I just say one thing I want to throw in, and you mentioned the tax brackets. People, of course, we need to realize that the Republicans changed the tax brackets. They squished them up so that there used to be more tax brackets. I mean, it bothered me, and I got lumped in with much higher paid people at the same rate. It really was a boon to pull in like the $300,000 to $400,000 range. Or $250,000 to $400,000 range. So it doesn't bother me that he kept that, and as you said, that he deleted the taxes for that amount. That was about the only thing he could do.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. And you know, and I would you know, it's not an honest tax bracket. Let's put it that way. As far as the I know less about the history of why and when and everything that, like, the argument for putting that wide of a range of people into one tax
that
bracket.
That doesn't make any sense.
But, yeah. So, I mean, so if you know, someone like Jack's okay with it, I'm sure there's going to be some people who are very much not okay with it. But the last thing I wanted to at least mention is the final nail in Oplander's coffin of his 51 partial vetoes Governor Evers issued. It included a $1 million earmark for a dam in Robin Voss's district that is now gone. I don't know how badly they needed the dam. So I feel if it's something for, you know, his district that was something that was really necessary, I'm sorry. If it was something that was not necessary,
I don't know. Maybe Robin could get the money from Foxconn.
Maybe Robin can just donate the money.
Well, that's an idea. Now, I like
just
the
leverage
way,
one of his multiple properties in Whitewater.
I like the way you're thinking.
All right. Well, that was fun. We'd still love to take your texts and your calls. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Otherwise, when we come back, we're going to do three headlines and a lie. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we have some Brewers tickets to give away.
Tomorrow night.
They did indeed blow their 3-1 lead last night. Mike came home from the game very upset.
Oh.
Because he had bet his drunk friend that the Brewers were going to win.
Oh, dear.
And I think he bet them in like the eighth inning or ninth inning or whatever. I didn't watch the game. When they were up. And then the Brewers just let it go.
Yeah.
And then he went to Pottawatomie and lost some money. So he was very agitated when he got home last night.
He was not on a good streak. He should have come home.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Nothing good happens after X o'clock.
I'm telling you.
Depending on which father you're talking to. but yes, we have four tickets for the Cincinnati Reds game tomorrow night at American Family Field. The first pitch is set for 7:10 p.m. How hot is it going to be tomorrow?
It's not going to be too bad. It should be much like today. It should
All
be
right.
pretty nice in there.
All right. So, good tailgating weather. Unlike yesterday, that was
brutal.
On and off showers. But we're going to give them away, not now, because we're going to play three headlines and a lie. But at the next break, the first caller, Jane, will take your call. So if you would like to get four tickets for the Brewers game for tomorrow night at 7:10 p.m. against the Cincinnati Reds, you will want to give us a call. So get ready like 5 minutes from now. And a reminder that you can always listen to the Brewers on Civic Media's flagship Brewers station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, which you can listen to throughout the Fox Valley And you can also listen and catch the Brewers on WRCE, News from the Center, in Richland Center.
Our friends at Richland Center.
Our friends. Actually, tomorrow, speaking of friends in Richland Center, Phil Nee is going to be here because it's already Friday. So tomorrow we are...
He's 3 day weeks, man.
Are already going to have Phil Nee as our crossover civic media guest for the best, worst, and weirdest headlines of the week. He's got a short week to choose from.
Yeah,
but so Phil Nee will be here tomorrow, but also you can catch the Brewers on 107.7 FM and 1450 AM on WRCE News from the Center. So keep your fingers ready if you want those tickets for tomorrow night at 7:10.
They're good tickets.
They are good tickets.
Good
they're
seats. Very everybody, good tickets. Everybody has said that.
And you get, you know, shorter lines because you're on the club level.
Yeah.
Good view.
Fancy foods.
You're next to the boxes. You can kind of see who's up there and gossip. I don't know. All right. Three headlines and a lie.
Okay.
Let's do it. These are headlines where three of them are real, one is fake, and Jane has to guess which one is the fake one. So, number one, robot conductor gives a history-making orchestral debut.
Okay. I think that's true.
Okay. Number two, Iowa man's collection of 70,000 pencils being evaluated as possible world record.
I know that's true.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay. Number three, fans outrage after Grand Rapids July 4th drone show depicts spoiler for Oppenheimer.
That's also true.
Stonios cannabis cookies look too much like Oreos, says FTC.
Oh, now you're throwing me for a curve. Okay, so one of these is a lie.
One is a lie.
Let's go through them again.
Am I saying orchestral? Am I saying
orchestral?
That? Orchestral. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Orchestral.
Robot, number one, robot conductor gives a history-making orchestral debut.
Nice.
Number two, Iowa man's collection of 70,000 pencils being evaluated as possible world record. Number three, fans outraged after Grand Rapids July 4th drone show depicts spoiler for Oppenheimer. Number four, Stonios cannabis cookies look too much like Oreos, says FTC.
Okay, the lie is the robot conducting the orchestra.
No, that is real.
Really?
That is real.
Oh, it's not the cookie.
That is also real.
Pencil guy?
That is also real.
Oh, man.
The 4th of July is the lie.
Oh.
What did you read that you thought that you knew that it was true?
I could have sworn I saw something this morning that went past and didn't take time to look to read the whole thing. But yeah, I saw something came up this morning about that.
So there was a lot of drone shows.
There were, I think are so cool.
They are really cool. You mentioned that yesterday when you were saying the opt-out from fireworks into drone shows, and I hadn't seen some of the images of the different cities that did that on July 4th, and they are very cool.
To go to YouTube and just and search, you know, drone shows. Gosh, they had Washington crossing the river. The paddles
they're much more animated.
The paddles are moving. You know, the you can see it kind of. It's amazing.
I'm interested. Is each drone operated by a person?
There has to be some. Can you imagine?
That is a lot of synchronization.
It's got to be on computer systems.
Or it's just a huge job creator.
I need 5,000 people for Thursday.
Bring your drones. We need you. We need an army of drones to create the Statue of Liberty.
Because it's got to be hundreds of drones to pull off something like that, right?
Totally. But anyways, so yes, a robot conductor did indeed give a history-making orchestral debut.
All right.
This was in standing at 1.8 meters tall. Eve R, 6 robot, led the National Orchestra of Korea in a sold-out performance at the National Theater of Korea in Seoul on Friday, June 30th.
This is going to have a bad end.
Iowa man's collection of 70,000 pencils being evaluated as possible world record.
Everybody's got a hobby.
Yep. And then indeed, Stonios cannabis cookies look too much like Oreos. Wonder if they have a picture. They do not have a picture on this article, but but yes, there was, you must immediately cease marketing edible Delta 8 THC products that imitate conventional foods using advertising or packaging that is likely to be appealing to young children.
Well, hello, yes.
That is, hide your gummies, baby.
Hide your gummies, like,
because
please.
Babies
yes.
will eat those.
Yes.
So yeah, there you go. All right, well, on that note, if you would like to win some Brewers tickets and go to the game tomorrow night at 7:10 against the Cincinnati Reds, call in now, 844-967-2789. Jane will take your call, get your information. If you have won in the last 30 days, I'm sorry, you do not qualify, but love to get new people in there, love to bring people into the clubhouse or the club level, so give us a call, 844-967-2789. You don't have to answer a trivia question or anything. You just get to win the four tickets.
Lucky you.
Lucky you. All right. When we come back from break, it's a public service announcement because it's a